You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Earlier this week, you announced that the government will close the pay gap between doctors who go into general practice and those who go into work in hospitals. What is the current difference in their pays? Could you elaborate on what details will be changing for GP doctors?
To be honest, I can't tell you what the difference in rate is. And this is the difference for trainee doctors. So trainees in hospitals get paid at a particular level. If they go out and do training in a GP practice in order to be a GP, they take a pay cut as a consequence. It's never really been clear to me why that situation has arisen, but it has. And what we're, the feedback we're getting from a lot of medical graduates in particular is one of the reasons why they don't opt to train as a GP is the training is better and they get paid better by staying in a hospital. So by closing that gap, the idea is to remove the disincentive to train as a GP, because we need more GPs. The College of General Practitioners has said that over the next 10 years, you know, up to 50% of the current GP workforce is expected to retire or otherwise leave the profession. So we need to be replacing them or do the work on replacing them straight away. So this is one way of addressing that problem.
You've also announced an increase in the number of GPs trained each year from 200 to 300. Was this something, obviously the universities might have been asking for this, but was this something that GP clinics were also asking for?
Yeah, so this one of the problems, the reason why we haven't been able to increase the number of medical students is because once they get to the end of the university training and they do their practical training in the hospitals and what have you, is there just aren't enough people to provide supervision. And for medical graduates who we want to go into being GPs, we just don't have a robust enough system to allow, you know, senior GPs to provide supervision to medical graduates. The announcements I've made this week means that we can change that, so we will have basically more GPs and other medical professionals available to supervise medical graduates as they're doing their training, certainly more space in general practice. The next step then will be to talk with the universities about increasing medical student numbers. We're probably too late to do that for 2023, but I'm hopeful that we will see a lift from 2024.
Now moving on, more than 500,000 mental health sessions have been delivered to New Zealanders under the government's Access and Choice program. Could you tell us a bit about the kind of support that Access and Choice program gives people?
Yeah, so this is the program where we fund basically various positions in general practice, in community health clinics, in youth-specific health clinics. There's two roles, two or three roles that we fund. One is the health improvement practitioner. This tends to be somebody who has a mental health qualification. The second is the health coach, which could be somebody with any range of experience or qualifications, dealing with, you know, anything from nutrition to fitness to, you know, just sort of getting your life in order. And then for some places, we've got the community support workers as well, so people who just get out and make sure that somebody who's come to a health professional with an anxiety issue or mild depression and who started on getting talk therapies but needs some other things to help sort out their lives, maybe some other you know, social work support or something like that, that they're getting their support as well. So we now have nearly 1,100 people in those roles across the country, which we've put in those roles since 2020. And then during that time, as we've been building that up, we've now reached this other milestone of over 500,000 sessions. Most of these sessions are one-on-one, so this is people who've gone there, got the help. Some of them are group sessions, so in the Pacific space, and we've provided some of these roles to Pacific health or community practices. They tend to do group sessions as opposed to individual sessions. In GP practice, it tends to be individual. So, yeah, this is the stuff. And I was just getting around some of the health practices or the GP practices who've taken on these roles just in the last few weeks. And they all tell me now, particularly those that have had these roles in place for some time, that they're really starting to notice the difference. There are fewer referrals to acute services because they are under pressure, under strain at the moment, and people are getting the help they need at the time they need it, and is really sort of making a difference. So We still haven't completed the rollout of that program. We've still got probably another 18 months, a couple of years to go. But I'm really pleased about where we've got to and the impact that we're now starting to see that it's making.
If people need help and they want to utilise the Access and Choice program, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, if they are enrolled in a GP practice, go there. Using the services of a health improvement practitioner or a health coach is free. You won't get charged any extra. You would get charged your consultation fee that you'd normally charge to go to the doctor. But if you're otherwise, you know, go to Kaupapa Māori Health Services, go to Pacific Health Services, go to a youth health service. I mean, a lot of those youth health services, they take casual, walk-in sort of patients and so on as well, or people who need help or medical help. But they've got those people there. So there's a number of avenues you can use to get access to these.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.